to come by and help us. If you maybe got saved this week, would you stand? If anybody got saved this week, all right. Anybody got filled with the Holy Ghost this week, why don't you stand? Amen. Any of you that the Lord called you to do a work for Him this week, why don't you stand? All right, that is what youth camp is about. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord some praise for what He's doing this week. Thank you, Lord. God, that You're touching the lives of young people this week, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do this chorus we've been singing. Why don't y'all stand? We'll sing this chorus a few times. Lord, send the rain. Pour out Your Spirit. Let the fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Oh, Lord, send the rain. Pour out Your Spirit. Let the fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. Oh, Lord, send the rain. Pour out Your Spirit. Let the fire fall. Heal us one and all. Fall fresh on me. I want you to lift your hands, young people, right now. I want you to sing this song one more time. I want you to sing it. And I want you to sing it as a prayer to the Lord. Lord, send the rain this morning. You know, the fire fell last night, but that was last night. This is a new day. This is a new service. We need a new outpouring of the Holy Ghost today. It's not just a one-time thing, young people, but you know, the Bible says about Samson, it says that the Spirit of the Lord moved on him at times. But the Bible says about Jesus that the Spirit went with him and drove him into the desert. See, it's not just about a time-to-time experience. It's not just about a visitation of the Holy Ghost. And I love it when the Spirit of the Lord comes by. But it's not just about going from experience to an experience. It's about walking in the Spirit. It's about every time you come into the house of God, the Spirit of the Lord will fall on you. Is that what you want in your life? That's what I want. I want you to sing it one more time. I want us to lift our hands and sing this song as a prayer. And I'm going to let you sing it, all right? I'll get you started. Oh, Lord, send the rain. Pour out Your Spirit. I'll sing it again, young people. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Do it this morning, Lord. God, do it in this service, Lord, on this group of young people. By Your Spirit, Lord, we appreciate You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Grab your Bibles and turn with us to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 4, and also chapter number 9. Praise the Lord. Need the Lord to help us this morning. I want to try to preach to you what's on my heart. I was planning on going a different direction this morning, but just want to be obedient to the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 4, when you find it, say amen.
Chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." Amen. Chapter number 9. Verse 1. "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. The king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Amen. Verse number 13. "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet." Praise the Lord. Would you pray with us, young people? Lord, I thank you for another opportunity, God, that you've given us to speak to these young people. Lord, I pray that the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost sort of rest not only on us, but on them also. God, the burden you've laid on my heart, God, I pray you'd help me to get it across like I feel it, Lord. That you'd move in this altar service, Lord, that in this service you would bind up wounds. Lord, you'd bind up the broken that are here this morning, God, in the precious name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, we read here in our text, we read probably a great story in the Word of God. It's a beautiful story of kindness and of mercy. But let me just set the scene for you just a little bit. Just a few chapters earlier, King David has brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the Ark represented the presence of God. And he brought it back home to Jerusalem. And he's just returned from conquering the lands of the Philistines and the Moabites. And now he's returned to his house in peace. But here's where the story picks up. Because in verse number 1, we read where King David asked a strange question. He said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Or is there anybody from Saul's family that's left alive?" You know the story. Just a few chapters earlier, that King Saul, who used to be the king when David was just a boy, but King Saul and his son and all of his sons were killed in battle and were destroyed, and David has become king. But what a strange request that we hear from King David right here. But David, he no doubt remembered the days of being hunted like a wild animal and of always being a man on the run because of King Saul. But why in the world would David want to show kindness to the house of Saul? Why would he want to show kindness to the family of the man that had hunted him like a dog? But see, he said, "I want to do it for Jonathan's sake." Jonathan was King Saul's son, and David and Jonathan, they were best friends. And the Bible says that the heart of David was knit to the heart of Jonathan. And they loved each other as brothers. And it was for Jonathan's sake that he wanted to show kindness to the family of Saul. But he said, "Is there anybody else?" And they say, he calls for this man named Ziba, one of Saul's servants. And he said, "Is there anybody left of the house of Saul?" So Ziba thinks about it for just a minute. He says, "You know, there is somebody that comes to mind. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth." How many of you know the story of Mephibosheth this morning? Praise the Lord. I can just see King David as Ziba says, there's a son, a Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth. He's still alive. And so David gets excited. He says, call Mephibosheth to me. Oh, we need the Lord to help us right now. Young people, Mephibosheth was probably nervous when he got the call from the king to come to him because he knew that his grandfather had been mean to the king. But the Bible says that when he walked in, Mephibosheth fell on his face and he did reverence to the king, to King David. Mephibosheth knew that the man before him had the power to destroy his life or to preserve it. But still he went. But listen, it wasn't in anger and it wasn't in contempt that the King David met him that day, but it was with kindness in love. Oh, but this morning, if I could, young people, I want us to look at Mephibosheth this morning. I want to point out some things about Mephibosheth. Oh, because I feel like there's some young people in this service this morning that you can identify with Mephibosheth. For you see, Mephibosheth was not your average person. He was not your average man. There was something different about him. And that was the fact that Mephibosheth was crippled. I believe this morning with all my heart that there are some in this service, that there are some young people sitting under the sound of my voice, that you have been crippled in some way. Oh, I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about the pain that you carry. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, about Mephibosheth, that he was broken because of someone else's decision. Now, we live in a society where everybody wants to blame somebody else for the situation that they're in. Nobody wants to own up to their own mistakes. The thief wants to say that he steals because of his environment. The murderer wants to say that he kills because of the way that he was raised. Those in the alternative lifestyle want to say that they were born that way. That's why they are like they are. But the fact of the matter is that nobody wants to own up to their responsibilities. Oh, but there are probably some in this service. I feel like this morning that your life has been broken and crippled by the choices that somebody else has made. Oh, I'm not trying to offend. I'm not trying to hurt this morning. But see, that's where Mephibosheth found himself. Mephibosheth was broken. Mephibosheth was crippled. Not because of his own fault, but because of somebody else's decision. For you see, the Word of God tells us that when tidings came that King Saul and Jonathan had been destroyed, that Mephibosheth's nursemaid picked him up and tried to flee. But while she was running with that 5-year-old little boy in her arms, as she was trying to hurry, she fell. And Mephibosheth became crippled. Oh, I don't want to give the nurse a bad rap because she was just trying to protect that little boy. But it was because she was running. It was because of her decision that Mephibosheth became crippled. It wasn't by his own decision. He had been dropped and he had been damaged in life. Oh, listen to me, young people. You may be here this morning and you are just like Mephibosheth. As you sit in this service on a Thursday morning, you too have been dropped by life. You too have been dropped by society. I'm not saying that you've committed some great and terrible sin, but what I'm saying this morning is that you have been damaged by the events of your life, the things that you as young person have gone through. They've affected your life, and this morning you feel broken, and you feel shattered, and you feel crippled in so many ways that you wonder even if God could put the pieces back together again. Or maybe you were crippled by the death of a loved one, and you've never really gotten past it. Or you may be here this morning and you come from a broken home, and you've been damaged, you've been crippled. When that person that you love so deeply, that parent or that family member, just decided to up and walk away. Or it could be you're here this morning, and it's been years since you were wounded, and you've just learned to cope with it. Or maybe the scars and the wounds are still fresh in your mind. mind and on your heart, but regardless of the time frame, young person, this morning you are crippled. Can I tell you that Mephibosheth could identify with you because he too had been dropped. He too had been damaged because of someone else's decision. And as you sit here this morning, I may not know all about the scars that you carry. Oh, but God knows where you're at. And He's come by on a Thursday morning to tell you that it's okay that you're crippled. You know what it is to soak your pillows with tears because of the disappointment and the pain that you've experienced. You know what it is to ask God, why is this happening to me? You know what it is to try so hard to understand God's plan and to try to understand and grasp why you go through the trials that you go through, but still you come up short. But young person, I've come to tell you this morning that just because you came into this service crippled does not mean that God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean that it's your fault, but you come in crippled because you have gone through things and other people in your life have made decisions that have affected you. Praise the Lord. But Mephibosheth was broken because of someone else's decisions. But I want you to notice, secondly, that Mephibosheth's life was forever changed because of his broken situation. His life had been forever altered by the things that he had gone through. Friend, you too have been changed by the situations of your past. Sorrow and pain and disappointment have become your closest companions. And as you sit under the sound of my voice, time has eased the pain just a little bit. But still you carry those scars in your soul. Still you carry those scars on your heart. Oh, listen, Mephibosheth's crippled condition affected how he lived his life. See, because he was crippled, he couldn't do the things that other people could do. People deal with pain differently. Did you know that? There's some people that they just want to ignore the pain. They just want to ignore the scars. And then there's some that they just want to meet it head on. But regardless of how you deal with the pain, it will affect your life. It will affect how you live your life. See, Mephibosheth couldn't function like all the other boys. He couldn't run and play with all the other children because he was crippled. He couldn't go out and about by himself because he was crippled. He couldn't go out and work like everybody else because he was crippled. And friend, you're here this morning and your life has been crippled by the things, and your life has been handicapped by the things that you've gone through in life. You can't trust the people that love you the most because you are crippled. You can't love like you want to and need to because you have been crippled. Oh, you, when you come into the house of God, you can't worship God like you know you need to because you've been crippled by life. But friend, it's not a sin to be crippled. Oh, but it can be a hindrance. But Mephibosheth knew what it was to be different. Oh, there may be others. There may be some of you, you say, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody's experienced what I've experienced. Oh, I want to tell you something. You may not think that anybody else knows what it is to be different. But Mephibosheth knew what it was to be changed by his situation. And you're here this morning and you too have been changed by the things that you've gone to. Oh, there were probably times when Mephibosheth got, maybe he got his party hats out and he had a pity party for himself. There were probably times when he felt abandoned and he felt unloved because of the wounds, because of the brokenness he had sustained in his life. But friend, can I tell you this morning that Mephibosheth was damaged, but he had not been discarded. Praise God. For you see, yes, he was wounded because of someone else's mistakes. Yes, he was. His life is forever changed because of his handicap. But I want you to notice this morning, young people, that in spite of Mephibosheth's broken condition, there was a king who loved and cared for him. Praise God. Oh, King David, he tells Mephibosheth, he said, fear not, I will surely show you thee the kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. What was he saying? He was saying, Mephibosheth, you're not going to have to worry about anything else anymore. The king is going to take care of you. Oh, it wasn't deserved, but friend, I came to let you know this morning that in spite of your broken condition, in spite of the things that have crippled your life, there is still a King of Kings who knows right where you're at. He knows the struggles you're going through. He knows the things that you're facing. You say, preacher, how does this king know so much about how I feel? How does he know about the wounds and the pain that I've experienced? Listen to this. Isaiah 53:5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, let me tell you this morning, this king knows where you're at. He knows what it is to be wounded. He knows what it is to feel pain. He knows what it is to be hurt, because he was hurt for you. He knows what it is to carry those scars on his life. He allowed them to place a crown of thorns upon his head, and he allowed them to take that whip and to place the stripes upon his back, just so that he could identify with you and that he could know how you felt. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, he would do it only because he loves you. But listen, he not only cares about you or loves you, but he cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen to me, young person. This King of Kings knows exactly where you're at this morning. He knows the struggles. He knows the pain. He knows the scars. But I like that phrase in Isaiah that says, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, many times we think of that verse only in reference to divine healing. And I believe in divine healing. Oh, but I believe that the stripes that Christ took upon his back is so that we, so that our bodies could be healed. But I believe there's more to it. I believe that those same stripes that we claim for physical healing are also available for spiritual healing, for inward healing, for emotional healing. Psalms 147:3 says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth their wounds. Praise God. Jeremiah 30:17 said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Oh, young people, I came to tell you this morning, on a Thursday morning of Camp Blessing 2013, that you may be here, and you may be broken by the things that you've experienced. When that mom or dad walked away, maybe you were hurt when your parents got a divorce, but when you came into this service this morning, you came with scars on your life. But I came to tell you that the King is here. The King will see you now, and he can take a heart that's broken, and he can put the pieces back together again. He can take a life that's shattered, and he can bind up those wounds and make you whole again. That's why they call him the great physician, because he not only heals broken bodies, but he can heal broken hearts as well. Praise God. Sweetheart, come help me. I want you to notice two things that David promised Mephibosheth. The first thing that David promised was restoration. Verse 7 says, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Oh, I feel like this morning, young people, that there's some of you need restoration in your life. I feel like the enemy has stolen some things from you, young people. But I want to tell you something. There is a king. He can not only bind up your wounds, but he can bring restoration to your life. Oh, you've been in these situations for so long that you've learned to cope with it. You've learned to adjust with it. But I've come to tell you this morning that it won't always be like this. Oh, there will come a day of restoration. There will come a day when those that are broken will be made whole again. But the second thing that David promised was not only restoration, but he promised provision. Verse number 7 goes on to say, "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." But Mephibosheth, you don't have to wonder how you're going to eat anymore. You don't have to worry or fret where your next meal is going to come from. But as long as you live, you've got a place right here at the table. Oh, what an act of grace. But here's a man that has been broken and crippled by the events of his life. But you know what? The king had a place at his table for him. And you know what? When Mephibosheth pulled up to the table, maybe that tablecloth covered his legs, and he was just like everybody else, because the king had made a way, because the king had a place for him. Young people, I come to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how crippled you are, it doesn't matter how many scars are on your life, there is still a place at the king's table for you. Praise God. Oh, stand with us this morning. See the scars that Mephibosheth had and the wounds that he had sustained. They had no bearing on the grace and mercy shown by the king. King David did not show grace based upon the seriousness of the wounds. It didn't matter how hurt Mephibosheth was, and it doesn't matter how hurt you are this morning. The grace and mercy of the king is available this morning. Oh, young people, I'm just trying to obey the Lord. Brother James Snow, his church is here. But he told a story one time of him and his family. They were traveling from California to Indiana. And he said they stopped at a subway and he felt like he needed to go talk to this young person. He went over and talked to her. Come to find out it was a young lady. And he went over and talked to her. He offered to buy her something to eat and she refused. And he found out in talking to her that she hadn't eaten for several days. So he bought her something to eat and then he told her and he said, "You need gas in your car." He said she was shocked. There's no way he could have known that. But he told her, he said, "Follow me down to the gas station. I want to fill your car up with gas." So they went down to the gas station and he filled her car up. He started to get in his car and he just felt the Lord prompt him. He said something just came. This young lady was very closed talking about the Lord. But he said something came over him and he went over and he grabbed the handle of that car. And he got in that car with her. It was cold outside, but he got in that car with her. And he said the Holy Ghost began to speak to that young lady through Brother Snow. And he said he started telling her things that there's no way that he could have known by himself. He told her, he said, "You were raised and you come from a Pentecostal background. You've gotten away from the Lord. You know the story of the prodigal son. And it's time for you to come home." And he said that young lady grabbed the steering wheel. And she said, "Father, take me back." He said the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost came into that car. And God gloriously saved that young lady. And she told Brother Snow, she said, "I'm going home to my husband that I left several years ago." Oh, why do you tell us that story, Brother Dayton? Because I want you to know that was a young lady that was damaged by the events in her life. She was crippled by the things, by some of her own choices. But she had probably been hurt by somebody. But I want to tell you that even though she was damaged, there was still a king that cared enough to send a minister of God by in a subway to talk to that young lady. Because there was still a king that loved and cared about her. Oh, how about it this morning, young people? Young people, you've been damaged. You've been crippled by the events of your life. Can I get down here where you're at? Some of you young ladies, your life has been crippled by people that you love. Young men, some of you have been hurt and some of you have been wounded by the people that you love. Oh God. I don't know the instances. I don't know the details of your wounds. I don't know anything about most of you. But there's one thing that I do know. That the King of Kings has come by this service this morning. And He wants to bind up your broken wounds. He wants to wrap His loving arms around you. He said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. He said, I'll be the Prince of Peace. He said, He'd be a father to the fatherless. Those that don't have Him, take care of the orphans. And those that don't have parents that love Him. He would be the one in this altars today. He'll be a father if you don't have a father. He'll be a mother if you don't have a mother. He said He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know the wounds. But I feel like there's some young people this morning. You need to step out of your seat right now. And make your way to this altar. Where the King of Kings is waiting. To wrap His loving arms around you. And say, child of God, I love you. I care about you. I know where you're at. I know the struggles you face. I know the battles you fight. But I want you to know this morning, there's still a King that knows and cares about you.
You are love beyond the hope that you.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I know we're not hanging from the chandeliers. But I believe the King is here to bind up some wounds this morning.
Scars of yours.